Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
All right, we're going to pray and then we'll jump into the word this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here among us right now. And we invite you to teach us in the next 30 or so minutes. God, we don't just want to receive information this morning, but we want to have our hearts and minds transformed. And we understand that we cannot change apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you in these moments. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would magnify Jesus, you would reveal Jesus to us, and as we gaze upon the beauty of Jesus, we would be transformed into his image. God, we don't just want to be a community of people that come in and do life our own way, but we want to be a community that looks like Jesus, smells like Jesus, speaks like Jesus, behaves like Jesus, treats others like Jesus. God, help us to see you more clearly this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said with one loud voice, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about the art of paying attention. The art of paying attention. In our home, there is a scenario that repeats itself fairly often, if I'm to be honest. My girls will be wanting to speak to their dad, and they'll be like, Dad. Dad, Dad, and there's me on my phone scrolling away, doing something really important, I promise. Probably scrolling through Instagram or something. And because I'm a typical male and I literally cannot do two things at once, I'm not ignoring my girls, I just do not hear them. If I'm looking at my screen, I can't hear them, I can't do two things at once. But then what happens next is I hear a very strong voice, a very authoritative voice that cannot be ignored. That is the voice of my wife. Any men say amen this morning? She's like, Luke, pay attention. The girls are trying to speak to you. I'm like, I am paying attention. You know how you get defensive? No, just me. I'm like, I am paying attention just to my phone, not to the girls in that moment. And that happens probably more often than I'd like to admit this morning. But isn't it true that our phones and devices often hinder our ability to focus on what matters most in life? It is proven that we are the most distracted people to ever walk on planet Earth. There's some encouragement for you this morning. Do you know that the modern attention span is 8 seconds? Some of you are like, wow, that's encouraging. I've got an attention span of 4 seconds. Let me put it in perspective. A goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. This is science. I'm not making this up. Our attention span is on average 8 seconds. And we all feel this often as I'm writing a sermon or I'm reading a book, doing something that I consider to be really important and really necessary. I'll feel this urge within me to check my phone, to check my emails. It's like I'm trying to do deep work, but there's this something in me that is just drawn towards wanting to pick up my phone and to get distracted. I know people that will have had a big week or a big day and they'll put on a movie to wind down and to chill out. But instead of watching the movie on the screen, they spend the next 2 hours watching their phone, scrolling through. So not watching, just listening to the movie and watching their phone instead. I mean, some of us, we can be in church with the opportunity to listen to a life-changing message that could absolutely transform us, but instead we're staring at our phones, none of you, of course, taking in content that is meaningless. When there's a moment that God could be speaking to us and wanting to do something significant in our lives, is it just me this morning, or do we all go through these things? See, human attention has become the most important commodity in the world. And this has led to tech companies creating sophisticated algorithms that are all about stealing your attention, all about getting your focus, getting you to focus on whatever device it is that you're using. See, what you see in your Instagram feed or your Facebook feed or all these different places, it's not by chance, it's not random, but these people know you. These people watch you. These people are in your minds. They know how to feed you content that will hook you. Everything is being designed for distraction and addiction because that's where the money is. It's always about money at the end of the day. Our attention is being stolen from us. And you feel it at times, don't you? We feel this at times. When we view new content, what happens is dopamine is released. When you see that new content, that new email, that new Instagram post, dopamine is released, and dopamine feels good, right? It's a happy drug. So what that means is we can get addicted to new content, which is why we regularly go to these devices. I love how Nicholas Carr says it. Listen to this, insightful. What the net seems to be doing is chipping away my capacity for concentration and contemplation. Whether I am online or not, my mind now expects to take in information the way the net distributes it. In a swiftly moving stream of particles. Hear this. Once I was a scuba diver in the deep sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. How true are these words? You see, distraction can cause us to live shallow and superficial lives. But God wants us to live lives of depth and meaning where we go below the surface, where we connect with Him on a deep level, where the connection we have with God isn't artificial or superficial, but it is real and it is deep and it is rich and it is authentic. Distraction is the greatest enemy to devotion. Let me say that again. Distraction is the greatest enemy we face to devotion. If anything is going to stop us from fully devoting ourselves to God and to those around us and our family members, it is distraction. Distraction is that thing. It's been said that not many of us will be tempted to deny our faith, but many of us will live lives where we're so distracted that we settle for a mediocre version of our faith. We may not deny our faith, but we may end up settling for something less than what God has. Hebrews 2:1 says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. There are a lot of people drifting away over the past few years. And Paul is saying is the only way to prevent our hearts, my heart, your heart, from drifting away from their true homes, which is from God, is to intentionally, proactively meditate on the Word of God, to focus on it, to take it in, to drink from this well, to do it intentionally. I'm someone that loves to get out in the ocean down the surf coast and go for a surf. And down in those surf beaches, there is very real currents and rips and there's big waves and all those things. And when you're out in the surf, the only way to prevent yourself from drifting is to pick a landmark and to focus on that landmark, or to keep your eyes focused on the flags, the surf flags, so that you can look up at any moment and know exactly where you are and to know whether you have drifted or not. Do you know what represents that landmark, those flags in our lives? It is the Word of God. When we focus on the plumb line, when we focus on the truth of God, what we're doing is we're positioning ourselves not to be those that drift here and there, but to be those that stand. And stand in alignment with the Word of God to say, I will not enable my heart to drift because I'm going to stay in alignment with God. Briefly this morning, I want to share a few things about attention. The first thing is this: paying attention leads to God awareness. Developing the art of paying attention doesn't happen through trying harder or becoming really rigid and really religious and trying to be the most disciplined person in the world. But developing the art of paying attention comes through us realizing that God has given us this beautiful gift called life to be experienced. And the more we become aware of what God has given us, this opportunity, the more we will embrace it. The more aware of God we will be, the more aware of people we will be. And there's a fascinating story in Genesis chapter 16. God gets Jacob's attention through a dream. Jacob's having this dream where God reveals himself to Jacob, and he says to Jacob, the promises that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I'm now passing on to you. He says, I will be with you and I will bless you, and your descendants will look like the stars of the sky, the dust of the earth. I am promising these things to you. But where it gets interesting is when Jacob wakes up. Genesis 28:16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. See, God got Jacob's attention through a dream, and the result was Jacob becoming aware of God with him, aware of God's presence. But here's the thing, God was always with Jacob, but Jacob wasn't always aware of the fact that God was with him, that God was in him. And sometimes we can feel like God is really absent, like, where is God? God has gone on holiday. God is distant. We've all felt that at times. But often it's not that God is absent, but maybe that we are absent. We are distracted. We've got a lot going on. We're busy, and we don't realize God is right there with us, just waiting to meet with us. See, we're often not taking time to stop and be intentional about talking to him, sharing our hearts, experiencing him. And this is why having an intentional time with God, a devotional life, is such an important thing. A time where we can get away from distractions, we can go to a place that is distraction-free, where we can not go and perform for God, but simply step into the secret place and be with God. A time where we can sense his presence, where we can speak to him, where we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be more aware of the presence of God in our lives. We need this place. And I get it, as a father of three young kids, I get that this can be challenging. Life can be challenging, and finding that margin and that space can be challenging at times. But can I encourage us? We need to fight for this. We need to fight for connection with God. We need to fight against distraction so that we can grow in our awareness of his presence in our lives. John Tyson says this, the probing question that confronts the spirit of the age is, are we blaming God for his absence when we are the ones no longer present? I love that God is not a broken parent that is emotionally unavailable. He's not a human parent that goes missing when things get tough, but God is a loving father who is available, who is consistent, who is dependable. And the desire of his heart is to have us to come to him. There's never a day in our lives that Jesus and the Father are not inviting us to come and to experience his presence, to experience his love, to drink from the well of life. This is what God invites us into. If we are going to know God daily and not just occasionally, we have to develop the art of paying attention, not to anything, but attention to his presence. The moment we receive Jesus, we are invited, hear this, not just into an occasional encounter with God, but to experience his presence regularly, daily, where we are growing in our awareness of it. You see, the encounter we had with God all that time ago at youth camp is not enough to sustain us. An encounter we may have had with Jesus pre-lockdown is not enough. We can't just settle for that. But God wants to meet us today. He wants us to encounter him regularly. He wants us to receive fresh manna from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us each day to meet with him. God has more for us. Do you believe it? God has more. He has an endless supply. It's not like, hey, I've got this much. Once one person takes it up, it's all gone. God has an endless supply of his presence and his grace and his favor that he wants to pour in to our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a 21st century Christian that receives a lot of information, 21st century Western Christian that has a superficial experience of God, that skims the surface of life with God, but only ever goes knee deep. But I want to jump in the deep end. I want to have a deep, rich, fulfilling experience with God. I want to grab a hold of all that God has to offer. If God is offering it to us, let's grab a hold of it. Why play in the shallows when the deep end is available to us and we can jump straight in and God is there waiting for us? But this requires intentionality. More than ever, in the world we live in that is distracted, that is frantic, that is busy, devices everywhere, to-do lists, places to be, it requires intentionality. It requires developing a God consciousness, being conscious and aware of Him. When we live our daily lives with a God consciousness, we will begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. And how many people know that when you taste something that is good, you want to go back again and again and again? Pork ribs, I'm going for those bad boys again and again and again, because I've tasted them. I've seen that they are good, and my appetite is ready to go. My appetite is ready and raring and ready to eat those bad boys. When we are intentional, we will taste and see. Many of you would be familiar with a man named Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book entitled Practicing the Presence of God. And this man, after the war, he joined a monastery in Paris. And the monastery or the seminary assigned him to the kitchen. He was a lay monk. They assigned him to helping out in the kitchen. So this man literally spent the majority of the rest of his life in a quiet monastery out the back in a kitchen doing mundane tasks like cleaning, cooking, preparing vegetables. But the thing about Brother Lawrence's life that is incredibly encouraging and inspiring is this man did everything, whether that was to wash a dish, to prepare a meal, he did it all for the love of God. He did it all with this awareness that whatever I'm doing it with God and I'm doing it for God. He didn't care about what he was actually doing. What he cared about was, am I doing this activity with a God awareness? Am I conscious of the fact that God is actually in me and with me and I'm doing this with Him? And many people in modern culture would look at Brother Lawrence's life and go, this man did not accomplish much. This man was not successful. Like, what came out of his life? But I believe that heaven would look at Brother Lawrence's life and go, he got it right. He cared about what matters most, not about performing, not about achieving things that will impress the masses, but he cared about connecting with God from moment to moment. And if that's what heaven's going to be all about, enjoying the presence of God, we may as well practice now. We may as well practice the presence of God, abiding in His presence, being aware and conscious of His presence today. Tozer says, at the heart of the Christian message is God Himself waiting for His redeemed to push into conscious awareness of His presence. The second thing about attention is what you give your attention to will shape the person you become. Our lives will never be more than the sum total of what we give our attention to. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What we behold is what we become. What we behold is what we become. What we focus on, what we meditate on, what we contemplate will ultimately be what you and I become. Our whole lives are about beholding Jesus, at least they should be, about gazing upon His grace, gazing upon the beauty of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, about seeing Him for who He truly is. And I think if there's one thing that you and I could afford to do less, and one thing that we could afford to do more, the one thing we could afford to do less is to focus on our own inadequacies and to focus more on His sufficiency. to focus less on our shortcomings and what we need to do, and to focus more on what Jesus has already done and what he is doing and how sufficient Jesus truly is, to get caught up in who he is. He is the author and perfecter of life, our faith. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of this world. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the light of this world. If there's anyone that we should fix our eyes on and think about and meditate on, it is Jesus himself, the Good Shepherd. Have you ever noticed that what you pay attention to always grows? So last year, we were looking for a new car, and we decided that we wanted a Hyundai Santa Fe, three kids, obviously friends, we need a seven-seater. And the fascinating thing was, as soon as we decided, okay, that's the car we want, even though the Hyundai Santa Fe isn't the most popular car on the road, as soon as we decided that's what we're looking for, they were absolutely everywhere. It's like, there's a green one, there's a blue one, hey, Ra, there's a 2016, that's the 2013, like, there's an older one, like, you just see it everywhere. Have you had that experience? It's like, when your attention is on something, it'll pop up absolutely everywhere. It's just in your mind, it's front and center in our minds, and it's the exact same when it comes to God. When we turn our attention to God, all of a sudden he becomes bigger in our lives. And I think sometimes we allow a huge amount of real estate in our minds to be taken up with thoughts that aren't actually helpful. To be thinking about, this thing could happen though. What if this does happen? We're going to be in all sorts, but it probably won't happen. Or we could be thinking about something someone said about us a long time ago, and it's not helping us at all. Let's be intentional about what takes up the real estate of our minds, because there is only limited real estate. Let's fill our minds and hearts with things that are helpful. And this is the reason we need to renew our minds. This is the reason we need to guard our hearts and be like a bouncer that says, no, you're not coming in, or yes, you are coming in, and to serve an eviction notice to any thought that is not in alignment with the scripture, because what we give our attention to will become bigger. Do you know that when you think something over and over again, it becomes much easier to think that thing? That's why we have to be intentional and think the right things, because they will get bigger and bigger. And the more you think something, the easier it is to continue to think that thing and to default to thinking about truth. The third thing is this: what you pay attention to is what you will devote yourself to. The greatest gift we can give our kids, our spouse, our friends is our presence. You see, it's one thing to be physically present in a room, but it's another thing to be emotionally present in a room. You see, I can be physically present in a room, but if I'm emotionally absent, then those around me aren't getting a devoted version of me. But if I'm in the room physically and I'm emotionally engaged, I am there, I'm engaging my kids, I'm involved in what they're doing, all of a sudden, they are getting a devoted version of me, a devoted father. It's one thing to be in the room physically, but it's another to be emotionally available and connected. And for those of you that know our little girl, Summer, two-year-old, she's got a big personality. She's been challenging as of late. She wants to do things her way. I don't know where she gets it from. I'll let you guys decide that one. Like, we're not going to go there. But she, if she wants to do something, she will do it her way. And it's become challenging at times, but something Ra highlighted and we've been talking about a lot lately is when we take the time to get down on her level and to really engage her and to give her our undivided attention, all of a sudden she begins to thrive. All of a sudden her behavior changes because her parents are present and they're engaging with her, and all of a sudden we begin to see the best come out of her. Presence is a powerful thing. Paying attention to God and those in our lives is a powerful thing, and it brings the best out of them. For us, Monday is our day off, day of rest, where we kind of switch off, bit of a family day. We often get out in the morning and try and get outdoors, whether that's the beach or go for a walk or whatever it is. And something I started doing a few years ago was to switch off my phone on Mondays. And the fascinating thing has been, since I started doing that, everything else in my life on a Monday has begun to thrive. My soul thrives. My mind thrives. My relationships have been thriving. Why? Because I'm not distracted. I'm not preoccupied, but I'm present in the moment. And my phone is not shouting at me, pick me up, scroll through Instagram, respond to that text, because my phone is off and away. And can I be honest? I feel liberated. It is one of the most liberating things I've ever done, because I'm not battling to be present, but I'm present because I'm not attending to something else. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm just sharing something that's helped us in this journey. And when you think about it, Jesus was the most present man to ever live. Jesus was always living in communion with his Father. Jesus, in fact, said these words, "I can only do what I see my Father doing." So he was always aware of what is the Father up to. What is the Father saying? But he was also incredibly aware of the needs of the individuals that stood in front of him. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus was never busy rushing here, there, or everywhere, but he was always present, connecting with the person in front of him and attending to the needs. And what so challenges me about Jesus is Jesus never scheduled time in his calendar to love people. He didn't say, "All right, I've got 20 minutes on a Tuesday morning. I'm going to love that person then. I'm going to pray for a healing then." He responded to the need that was immediately before him, and he was present in that moment. And what I'm learning is that you cannot put love and relationships into a perfectly managed schedule. Love and relationships are messy if you have not noticed. It's not like we can schedule a time to love that person, a family member, a child in our lives. We cannot fit these things into a perfectly manicured scripture schedule, although we would like to. But love and life and relationships are messy, and we need to respond in the moment. They will always spill over, because guess what? They're meant to spill over. Relationships were never meant to be put in a time and a category. They were meant to spill into all of life. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." He doesn't say you will seek me and find me when you seek me, but you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God isn't looking for part of us, but he wants all of us. God wants our undivided attention. He wants our undivided devotion. One thing we don't always talk about is the fact that God is a jealous God. You see this all throughout the Old Testament. His one desire was to get the people of God to come to a place where they were solely devoted to him. But they continued to go to other gods and foreign gods and here and there. And God is just saying, "I want your heart. I want all of you. I don't want to share you with something else. Would you bring your heart to me?" At work sometimes, I'm sure you've heard this. You'll be wandering around at work and you'll hear someone say, "Yeah, I haven't had lunch today. I've just been too busy. I've been flat out. You know, it's 4 p.m. and they're like, I haven't had lunch today." And it's kind of like, okay, but my guess is if you had lunch, put something good in your body and had some energy and taken a few moments to rest, then my guess is you would have been more productive for the other 4 hours of your day after lunch, right? But sometimes I think we can treat God like we treat lunch. "I've been so busy this week. There's so much going on this week. I just haven't had a moment for you, God." Or, "Today has been frantic. There's so much going on." And let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself right now. "God, I just haven't had a moment to connect with you and to be aware of you." But God would say to us this morning, do not treat me like you would treat lunch. I am a higher priority. You cannot go without my presence in your life, my experienced presence in your life. There's no point gaining the world if we forfeit our soul, if our soul is not healthy and doing well. And David and Moses are two men, as the worship team join me, David and Moses are two men that understood that nothing mattered more than the experienced presence of God. See, what we have to understand theologically is all of us who have received Jesus, we've received the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. So the Holy Spirit and God's presence lives in us. But there's something else going on, which is called the experienced presence of God. Because who knows, you can have God in you, but not be aware of the fact that God's presence is in you. So we're not called just to know that God's presence is in us cognitively, theologically, but we are called into an experience of God's presence in us. And David and Moses understood this, and they understood that the greatest possession we have is the presence of God. David says in Psalm 51:11, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." A desperate cry from his heart. If there's one thing I don't want to lose, God, it's your presence. Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Moses is saying, "I refuse to go unless your presence goes with me." The greatest possession we have is the presence of God. Let's not allow ourselves to become overly familiar with what we have in God. You know how the more familiar something becomes, the more we can take that thing for granted. Let's not take God's presence for granted. You think about the Old Testament, to get near the presence of God, they needed to purify themselves, they needed to sacrifice, they needed to get as close to the temple as they could, because God's presence existed in the Holy of Holies and there was only a few that could get near the presence. But you and I, we have unlimited access to God's presence. Whether you're here in a cinema, whether you're at work, whether you're at the gym, whether you're lying in bed, whether you're in another country, God is saying, "I am here with you, I am present. Would you be aware of me in you this day?" Let's not allow the distractions of life to suppress our hunger for God. If you want to distract yourself from being hungry, if you want to suppress your appetite, the best thing to do is distract yourself. And I think sometimes we can be so distracted with all the busyness of life that our hunger for God is suppressed. It's not what it once was. I want to encourage us, let's stir up that hunger again. Let's thirst again. Let's hunger after God again. Let's desire His Holy Spirit again. Like Moses, let's say, "God, I will not go forward unless there is an awareness of your presence." David, "God, if there's one thing I want more than anything, it's an experience of your presence in my life."
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.